Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Conscious Thought with Leo on BBS Radio Talk Show, and I'm your host, Magdalena Winkler. Well, thank you, everybody, for tuning in for tonight, and before I actually invite my guest or welcome my guest, I just wanted to give you a telephone number that if you wanted to interact with us, you can call in, and the telephone number will be 1-888-627-6008. Well, that's for the introduction, and let's begin the show for tonight. I'm so excited because I have somebody from Europe, and I'm so grateful that he took extra time to stay so late. So, Patrick, welcome from Europe.
Thank you, Magdalena. It's a great pleasure to be with you in early morning from Croatia.
Yes, thank you so much. Well, Patrick, I really wanted to thank you, you know, for being on this Conscious Thought with Leo. And again, look, like I said, thank you so much for staying up for so late and, you know, since you're in Europe. And I decided today, because I already had a conversation with you on Monday, that what I would like to do today is to leave a little more organic conversation, meaning that, you know, I almost got overwhelmed with so much information what I gathered from you, but I decided I would love to have more kind of, you know, give a flow to our conversation. So even though I kind of put out some questions, you know, I would really love you to kind of, you know, dive into, do not hold back, because I know, you know, world splitting apart is actually your baby. That's how I'm kind of feeling it.
Okay. Is that correct? Yeah, but that is correct.
But what, before we start, I would actually let our audience listener know about a little about you, that you are the author of 40 books, and you are... yeah, that's a lot of books. You know what I was thinking?
Yeah, lots of books.
I was thinking you may have a pretty busy mind.
Yes, yes. Actually, I don't know how many books I wrote. I think it's 43 now. They were published in 5 or 6 languages. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, only 8 are available in English. So it was a lot of writing in last 4 decades.
Yeah.
40 years, and... I think. But and I'm living in hope now that some of these books are worth reading.
Yeah, and I just wanted to let our, you know, a listener know that you also conduct and teach seminars, and you actually just got back from Greece for quite a bit. So that's where we are kind of working on it, you know, until you got back from Greece to have this seminar. And what I was reading about is that your main focus about all these activities is to practically help people to explain and show them the way out of conditioned thinking, programmed behavior, and confined living. But also your spiritual goal is, Patrick, as you see this, the remembering and recreating the natural state of absolute freedom of consciousness. That was an amazing statement. I just wanted to let you know about that.
Yeah. Wow, Magdalena, you say it so nicely.
Well, listen, so, I studied it sounds, you a little.
And it so sounds so great, so proudly.
Yes, I am. Yes, yes. Because this is so much, you know, to my heart too. This is why I'm calling my show Conscious Thought with Leo. And, you know, when I was, look, like I said to you, absolute freedom of consciousness, I mean, it just gives me goosebumps. So I just wanted to, you know, let you know about that.
Okay. So let me start from the beginning. Actually, what I am doing, I was thinking how to explain to from the beginning what I am doing, and the only thing is what I can say in shortly is to inspire people to ask the hard questions about life. So who we are, what we are doing here, and how we can live our life more consciously. Those questions are not, many people are asking those questions, but usually when they are very young or very old. In the meantime, we are busy doing something else.
We are doing live, Patrick.
Yeah, but you know, those questions are quite important, because if you ask them persistently and really seriously, sooner or later, the answer will be revealed to you. So my job is not to give answers. And that is what I notice in all this year working with people. It is very important to inspire them to ask questions, because life will give you answers by itself.
I agree with you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what you said about living fully conscious and living free, it is my main focus now. I had many other projects. We will have a chance to talk about them.
Yes, please. Mm-hmm.
But really, the main thing what I'm doing now is to explain people what freedom is and how to live freely. Because we think we are free, and in many parts of the world, we are actually free to move around, to do whatever we wish with our life. But the thing is that we don't know why we want what we want. We don't know where from our desires comes. And usually those desires are the result of our conditioning. So we have certain patterns of thinking. We have something which Indians call karma. And these karma patterns confine us. So we think that freedom is when we can get what we want. And many times in spirituality you can hear and read about techniques and the ways to succeed in your life, to achieve what you want, to fulfill your desires. But very rarely you ask yourself, why you have such a desire? Why you want that and not that? And usually those desires come because we are conditioned. And the first thing we have to do to free ourselves from that is to understand this conditioning and this karma factor. Actually, my goal is to explain to people that karma can be eliminated. So we don't have to be conditioned. But mm-hmm. how to live without conditioning, how to live really freely, is a hard question. That is why I started with hard questions, because it's not easy to understand what freedom is. We don't know it, actually.
That's a very interesting point, Patrick.
Freedom is, for most people, freedom is actually a scary thing. To be really free means to not know why you wish something and not know what the future will bring you. To live in the moment, so to say, although I don't like very much this moment thing, but freedom really gives you no reason to look forward to future. And that is a scary thing, because people want security, and freedom don't give you security.
Mm. Wow, okay.
So you see, people actually, in spite of what they say, they actually don't want to be really free. They want essentially to be happy. And happiness and freedom don't go together always. Sometimes, yes, but not always. So it is actually the thing that every person should consider, what is actually the goal of his or her life. Do you want to be happy, no matter what? Or do you want to know the truth? Do you want to be really conscious, fully conscious, and live unconditionally free?
Well, you know what they're saying? There's a saying outside, they're saying that, when you try to find out the truth, it will first piss you off.
It will free you. If they say so, I agree.
You know what I'm saying? So, because a lot of the time, I agree with you that, people think, I wanted to be free and, have the happiness, and we are most of the time, striving towards that goal. But people do not recognize what you will actually find out on your journey to get there.
Yes. And when they start to find it, they start to be confused and want to come back to the original motivation. And that
absolutely, you know how they say that you cannot put the genie back into the bottle.
Yes. and freedom is a very stubborn genie. Mm-hmm. Once you touch it, it will never leave you. Once you taste it, you will never forget it. But like I said in the beginning, it is maybe not the thing. When you are confined, you are not aware of what freedom brings. And this is very tricky thing. But it is actually the goal of spiritual search. It is called, many terms like enlightenment, moksha, or whatever, people are going in that direction anyway. So the freedom is our destiny in the end. But to understand what freedom is, it takes time.
Yes. Don't you think that, for us to get there, we have to first understand how we got here? What was the reason of talking about the karma, not understanding all those aspects, that brought us here in this situation. And from there on, it's a whole shift in the consciousness, I would say.
Yes, that is true. The understanding the present situation is quite important. Mm-hmm. But I found that too much of understanding can be an obstacle. So if you...
I totally agree with you, yes.
If you actually spend too much time in analyzing the problem, you don't see the solution. So actually it is enough to see that we are somehow confined and to touch or feel the borders of your confinement. So that's my approach to karma. Is now quite simple. I was actually engaged in great analysis of karmic situation. One of my field of interest is astrology, especially Eastern Indian astrology, so-called Jyotish. Jyotish is specialized in analyzing the karma from the natal chart. So it is well known for its precision in determining why are you or any person in that situation. I spent some 20 years in studying Jyotish, and I still, in this moment, I'm teaching Jyotish in the form of 3 years study. And I also have my students who are taking over my job now, but I want to say that I spent a lot of time in probing into karmic thing. Mm-hmm. And it can be very detailed, You can get very detailed information about why are you like you are, why are you in this situation. But in the end,
matter?
Yeah, it matters. It matters in general terms, not in details. It mm-hmm. matters for you to understand which karmic pattern is dominant in your life in different periods. It helps you to understand what future can bring you and which parts of your life you put your attention. Also, it matters for you to introduce a different, I call it liberating experiences, because each karmic pattern has its own liberating experiences.
I like that.
You like?
Okay. I really like that.
So wow. those liberating experiences are something which you can hear of in spirituality very often. But I think not enough attention is given to them and not enough proper understanding. So, for example, you can have nine basic karmic patterns according to Jyotish, and I like to think in those terms. It's not they are absolute, but it gives you some kind of feeling about how karma function. So, for example, one of the karmic pattern is the need for control. You know, the need for control. We have a basic need for controlling our life. It doesn't mean that you want to control other people, although it can manifest that way. But we want to control the circumstances of our life. We want to know what will happen tomorrow. We want to know that our future is secure. We want to know that we'll have enough money for survive. So
Patrick,
let me just add something else.
As I'm listening, it's like, wait a minute. Well, how, you know, setting what people do, they are setting goals. Is this also part of that?
Yes.
Oh, yes, wow. Yes. I love it. I so love it. See, I told you I would love to be organic. Oh my God, this is amazing. Okay, go.
I'm not saying that setting goals is wrong. You should set your goals. But you know, if you are pathologically addicted to setting goals, mm-hmm. then I would say you are caught into the karmic trap of the control. So you have to release the control. So if you have this kind of condition you are in, so you should induce more of the liberating experiences, like the experience of the flow, you know, to experience the flow of life. So you can use certain techniques to induce that flow, to learn how not to control things, but also you can use different tools for that. One of the tools are labyrinths. We will talk about that, about labyrinths.
Yeah, see, do you see how we kind of are waving already?
Great.
We are dancing it.
yeah, labyrinths are about dancing a lot, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So there are these nine karmic patterns, and do all these details about why each person is like it is, getting down to these nine things. And in different, of course, different mixtures, different, you know, ratio. And you just have to know this and follow the you know, the procedures of these liberating experiences. That is the most helpful thing. And it's actually quite easy to implement.
Well, yeah, I was reading about your labyrinths, and I told you when I had the conversation with you on Monday also, I was already fascinated, but the more I'm reading about them, it's like, wow, this is amazing. So what would you say, what are the labyrinths, Patrick? How would you describe them?
First I have to say that besides Jyotish, I spent a lot of time investigating the spiritual tradition of old Europe, which is much less known than other spiritual traditions like Indian or, you know, South America or something.
Mm-hmm.
Many people don't know that during Neolithic time, it is from 10,000 before Christ to 3,000 BC, we have in Europe a very developed, very sophisticated culture, which is special in the way that it was peaceful. For 7,000 years, we have a great civilization here without war, without hierarchy, without social differences, and with great art and science. Not technology as ours, but great art and science. And that culture was very spiritual. By the way, it was considered to be feminine culture because they worshiped the goddess. But actually, it was equalitarian. That was no difference between sexes, no difference between different social classes. It was very interesting culture, and labyrinths are basically connected to that culture. I travel a lot around Europe, from Turkey, Greece, especially island Crete.
Yes.
Where the first original labyrinth originated. People know about Crete, about labyrinths from Crete. And actually, the name labyrinth comes from Cretan language, forgotten Cretan language. Labyrinth was actually the Plato, you know, the philosopher Plato.
Mm-hmm.
He uses first the word labyrinth, denoting the island Crete, because labris is the symbol of Crete. It is a double axe, actually. It doesn't have anything to do with labyrinths, but with this symbol of double axe. And the old Greek people called the Crete labyrinthos. Labyrinthos means the place of the labris. And since they didn't understand the culture, it was completely different from their hierarchy. And, the woman in Crete was, the old Crete culture was, you know, without rights. And on Crete, they were equal, so they didn't understand what they are doing on this island. so they talk about the Crete like a mysterious island, like something they don't understand. So with time, labyrinth becomes a symbol of something mysterious. But it actually denotes the island Crete. So the first labyrinth is seven-part Cretan labyrinth. It is very well known. Many people know the shape. When you look this labyrinth and any labyrinth, actually, it is like you're looking the schematics of the brain, something like this. Many paths, and it looks like you may lost yourself in it. But this is the first and very important point you should know about labyrinths. This is actually not true. People think that the labyrinth is the place of confusion, where you come in and you don't know how to come out. But it is not so. The real and original labyrinth has to have only one entrance, only one path without the crossroads, and one center. And then the same path to come back to the one exit. So this is the rule for labyrinth. The other structure where you can lose yourself in it is a maze, not a labyrinth. So there is a difference between maze and labyrinth. And I am not dealing with mazes, but with labyrinths. And what I have done is expand actually very scarce knowledge about labyrinths, because if you read books about labyrinths, you will come to the conclusion that labyrinths were with us forever. In many cultures throughout the world, we have different labyrinths in Europe, in India, in Africa, in America, but we don't know what they are used for. There are many theories, but we actually don't know. where this shape came from. And what I have done is actually really investigate what labyrinths do to our mind, to people mm-hmm. who use it. And according to my experience and experimenting for more than 12 years with them, mm-hmm. I developed a system with 9 basic labyrinths, and they are connected with these 9 karmic patterns, which I was talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. So you have 9 basic karmic patterns, and you have 9 basic labyrinths. And each of them have the similar structure. So they follow the rule, one entrance, one path, one center, but they are different. When you enter the labyrinth, you can walk on left, on or right, you can walk into the spiral, you can have 3 paths or 5 or 7 paths. So they're really different. And when you walk through labyrinth, the most people will feel peace first, but then if you walk a little bit longer, then you will feel the waking of certain kind of energy. And each labyrinth has its own kind of energy. And if you are sensitive enough, the walking through labyrinth can give you a really great spiritual experience and also give you a kind of liberating experience from karmic pattern. That is why I actually work with labyrinths.
Wow. Listen, before you move further, I'd love to ask you the question. When you were talking of the culture between 10,000 to 3,000 BC, studying those ancient culture, do you have a book about that?
Yes, I wrote three.
Because I would be really interested. I would be interested about that yeah. very much.
Yeah,
so.
I've got 3 books about that. Actually, 2 books are in the form of novel. Mm-hmm. One is called The Return of the Goddess, and the other is The Soul of the Old Europe. I wrote it in the form of a love story between a person, a young person from our time, and a girl from ancient time. They come in contact with through the little statue of the goddess, because the in that Neolithic time they have these little pocket statues, you know, this little statue of the goddess which they can carry around. Mm-hmm. And we found many of these statues around in Europe, in Croatia, and all around. And for me, these statues also always have some magic value. And I always thought, look, there must be something magical in them because they look so, so different from today's art. And in those books, this is the fiction, of course, but I imagine that one young person from our time found that little statue and established the contact through time with the girl from the Neolithic. And they speak and they fell in love. And
wow.
many things happen between them, and they get
nice.
They get to know each other and speak about that time and our time. And in the second book, The Soul of Old Year, they found each other in this time because she reincarnated.
Wow!
Now, with him
talking about karma here.
Yeah, and this is a very very nice story. The Return of the Goddess is translated in English, and I hope it will be available in Amazon Kindle, maybe in spring next year, because there are
some things. Well, listen, I know how to get to you, so.
Yeah.
Anyway, I wanted to ask you, I wanted you to elaborate what we were talking about on Monday, the benefit of labyrinths, how beneficial they are actually to autistic children. You were talking about that, and I wanted to kind of bring that in.
Okay. So after my book was published here, many people started to build labyrinths from different materials in their backyards, but also in public places. For example, we built a couple of so-called cities of labyrinths, on which all nine labyrinths are present. And we have these parks with labyrinths, and people come from all around and walk to them. It's kind of place of meditation and silence, and it's very beautiful. And some people notice that children with problems, especially autistic children, change their behavior when they are in labyrinths. They start to be more open, they laugh a lot, and they run, and they socialize more with others. So we have here one group of children. They come regularly, and it's kind of therapeutic value, you know. They help to recover. Also, we have other good experiences with illness, but I would not go so far to proclaim labyrinths a medical, you know.
Oh, tools. I understand that. No, we never do that, and I always say, you know, disclaimer that we are, you know, diagnosing or whatever. People should go to doctors, but what we are doing, we are sharing the experience here, Patrick. So that's the difference. You know, people should make their, you know, they have to make up their own mind.
Yes, of course. So the thing is that what is interesting to that we don't understand how labyrinths actually work, because you see you have this shape, this pattern on the ground, which is maybe 10, maybe 15 meters long, and you just walk in one direction, other direction, and something change inside you. Every person can feel it. But we don't know why, and I still don't know what is actually happening, but I have a pretty good idea in what direction the explanation may go. Because you see, that this pattern of moving on one side, another side, is something we people very rarely do. And if you look to animals, how they oriented it, how they are looking for the way in the nature, maybe cats or dogs, you will see that when they want to find their way, they are very often turning around in circles, in one way, mm-hmm. another way, and when they find the way, they go. People, when we walk or go somewhere, we go in straight line.
Straight line, yes. Mm-hmm.
Very rarely we do this circular movement on one narrow place. I can think about one activity when we do that, and that is dancing. And as you know, we all very much like dancing, because dancing do to us something similar as labyrinths. Because you are moving in different directions, and probably you are exposing your brain to different influence of magnetic forces, or maybe some other energy, I don't know, but we are doing something. And the result is intense pleasure in the body and different energy. But in dancing, of course, this probably are not so geometrically regular, you know, not so precise movements. It's more spontaneous, more chaotical. But in labyrinth, it's very precise. You cannot go different way. You just follow the path in labyrinth and you come back. So there is very, very, you can check what this movement are doing to you. And I think there must be some changes in brain patterns. There must be some changes in body energy. And all this is very palpable to a sensible person.
Well, I was just actually maybe for 2-3 weeks ago, I was watching a short video. They were calling it Brain Gym. And what they are doing right now, they are trying to do exercises where they are crossing the arms and the legs. And what they're really recognizing, they are engaging actually the both sides of the hemispheres. And, you know, a lot of, I mean, they were actually also mentioning that sometimes when you cross your legs or cross your arms, you are doing the same thing. You are engaging both sides of the brain. And we've been actually told for zillions of years, do not cross your legs and don't cross your hands. You know what I'm saying? So it's very interesting right now. All of a sudden, a whole different information is coming in.
Yes. But in the case of labyrinths, and what I'm talking about is the point is in movement, not in the position, but in movement. But it can have similar influence. So the movement can be very powerful. So actually, the movement in labyrinths are some kind of power movements. They are not accidental. They are determined. And you are doing the exactly precise same thing every time you enter a certain labyrinth. So if you are entering the labyrinth of connection, for example, because there is a labyrinth of connection. Oh, I forget to say which labyrinths they are. So we have labyrinth of power, labyrinth of feelings, labyrinth of energy, labyrinth of connection, labyrinth of wisdom, labyrinth of love, labyrinth of life and death, labyrinth of transformation, and labyrinth of freedom. So those are these nine basic labyrinths. If you enter the labyrinth of connection and if you are walking through it, so this energy of connecting with people will wake up in you. So, for example, on the entrance of each labyrinth in our park, our city of labyrinths, we have a table saying that if you enter this place, you will develop your communication skills, you know, your friendship, you know, your relationship in general. So each labyrinth has its own field of influence. And in my book, Labyrinths and Their Secrets, which is available on Amazon Kindle, you can find even diagnostic tables, you know, to connect the labyrinth with each part of the body, each emotion, each relationship, and even with each disbalance or illness you may have.
And also, Patrick, I just wanted to let our listener know that actually they can find this information on your website, because I was kind of reading a lot about that information. But what I really wanted you to do right now is, do you want to go into the world falling apart? Because we have only 20 more minutes. Can you imagine? I cannot even believe that we already cut so much time. So anyway.
Yeah, okay, I can do it, but I must warn you, as I warned you before, that it's a very complex topic. But I will try to be as simple as possible.
Listen, let's do that. Remember, as I told you from the beginning, before we went on air, that listen, if we cannot finish it, I will bring you back. No problem about that. So you know, so
If you can make me to wake up in early morning again, then I will come back. Okay. So I will try to be short and simple. I think it can be explained in the remaining time. The world splitting apart idea, before we understand it, we have to play a little bit with certain basic principles. First, we have to play with ideas from science about parallel worlds, parallel universes. Those ideas are present, they are mathematically and physically sound, but it is also true that they say that there is a high probability that we will not be able to connect with these parallel universes anyhow. But we don't know much about it, and there is a chance that things change. And also spirituality has to say something about it. I believe that through spirituality, through consciousness, we can be able to connect with those universes. But it doesn't matter at this moment. So the idea of parallel universes is here. The second thing is maybe more familiar to people from spiritual fields. So the second idea is how our reality is created. We actually know, many people know, that our consciousness is the main factor in creating our reality. So there is a great power in our consciousness. With our attention, intentions, with our thoughts, with our mind, emotions, and in general our energy, we actually create our reality. So we use our consciousness to reshape it. And many people use it to be more successful because it works in practice. If you use this principle, you can almost create whatever you want. I say almost because it's not only I, not only me creating something, it's also you and millions of other consciousness being and other people, and not only people. So sometimes our intentions are overlapping, sometimes they are contrary to each other, so you can create almost everything you want. If you connect these two things, the question becomes how consciousness creates our reality. Maybe the answer is that the consciousness doesn't create reality, it actually chooses the reality. In practice...
That is a fascinating point, Patrick.
Yeah. in practice, though, for an individual, it may not be so much difference in creating and choosing, because when you choose it, you are actually creating it. But for understanding the idea of world splitting apart, it is very important to understand this choosing process. Because if you choose the reality, that means that reality and the other realities which you didn't choose already existed. They are existing. They are pre-existent. You are just navigating between them. And thus you create what you experience. But the existence of these different realities are already here. So if you connect the idea about parallel universes and this knowledge about choosing or creating your reality, you get very interesting conclusion. In short, there is out there a version of you and a version of our universe, which is quite similar to you, but it's living your different choices. Her life is based on different choice. It may be similar, but it may be a little bit more far off. And not one of you. There are many, many, many possible versions of you and versions of your universe. So, and they are existing in the same time as your reality. So if you expand this idea on all of us, you will get different versions of our planet, of Earth, and different versions of humanity making different choices. So there are many details about that, but I tried to be really concrete and really short. What I try to explain in this book, The World Splitting Apart, is the period in which are we now. We entered this period somewhere around 2012. And all this fuss about 2012 was actually... this is a specific period in our history, the period of change.
In our evolution.
In our evolution. We all feel it. And we all know that something is happening. And in The World Splitting Apart, I try to give a different perspective on that, a really multiverse perspective on these changes. Because these changes are not only happening here in our reality, but they are happening in all our realities, in the whole multiverse. Mm-hmm. And the danger of this process is actually that it is like you can imagine you making one choice and choosing one reality and your different version making completely another choice and living completely another life. So your universes are far away apart. You are not together anymore. You split. So that is what's happening also on global level. There is a splitting happening now because different versions of humanity are making different choices. And the polarization, which we are witnessing in our Earth, in our reality, is also happening in these multiple realities. If this splitting happens, well, I consider it as a negative event. I told you that. And mm-hmm. the purpose of talking about it is actually to prevent it, if possible. If not, to lessen, to make suffering less, to decrease the level of suffering. Because if the splitting will happen, that means turmoil, that means upsetting, that means probably a social unrest, that means many wars and suffering increases. That actually means all with what we are witnessing now in our world. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So this process is already started. And the value of this book and this idea is to make people more conscious about what is happening on the wider level, not only in our reality. With the hope that it can help to smoothen the process, to make it more easy. And on the individual level, it may happen help also, because when you start to see this multiverse reality as the part of your multi-personality, that changes things, because we are so much confined with our little eyes, with our little me, little egos, little selves. We are thinking only about what is here and now in front of us, our desires, our tendencies, you know, how to make things better for us. And we don't see that the very notion of me is just a tool for something much bigger than that me.
Oh, Patrick, let me just add here, or I actually ask you a question. I mean, in the last, maybe 15 or last 20 years, we have so many bipolar people. Will that maybe be part of that there's so many things is happening, but they are not recognizing, but it's interfering with the human psyche?
Yes, for sure. And okay. if that process continues, we may witness even more so-called mental disorders of any kind, not just bipolar, but also this Alzheimer's disease is also the part of that forgetting, and also other mental disease. Actually, you know, mental things. Sometimes it is not an illness. Sometimes it is just a different experience.
I agree with you.
And people have different experiences and they are afraid of it. And people around them told them that it is not good, and doctors told them it's not good. So many times we actually label people with different experience like not normal people, you know, and diagnose them.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of interesting that we are kind of hitting that point right now, because a few months ago I had one of my other guests and we've been talking about that actually, you know, I would have to call us as a pioneers in this field, because in the schools and actually even in the medical field, they are not capable to handle all these new steps or new evolution what we are going through as a human. So they are still treating, you know, this new evolution of the human, still treating with the old aspect of healing, you know, giving medication or whatever. So they are not understanding what's really going on.
Yeah, that is true. By the way, if when I wrote my books, I have so many different experiences that I will probably, if I told the doctor about it,
you would be lunatic.
I'll be, I will be hospitalized now.
Yeah,
with
I know what you're talking about. Yeah. Actually, Paul Levy talks about in his book Defeating Vertigo. He talks about that.
You know, that is why from these 43 books, some like 20 or something are novels written like fiction, because it was much safer for me to write a fiction. to talk honestly about what I experienced and how I felt.
Wow. Yeah, this is pretty fascinating to me. So let me ask you this question, you know, because we are going to the end slowly. So what can we do right now, Patrick, you know, just as an individual in this scenario?
Well, this...
It's a hard question on you. I know that.
No, it's not actually hard, because it brings me on the beginning of our talk. Because as I told you, I did so many projects and I investigated myself, a field of spirituality, and I was involved in many things. And in the end, it comes down to a couple of simple things. Well, first, I would say that we have to cultivate some kind of peace in us. This is the basic spiritual thing. I know you have heard that many times, but people today are
Patrick,
not...
Patrick, hold on just a second. I have to give you, we have only 4 more minutes, so okay. I wanted you also to give us the website. And you know what? I'm already going, we will come back again. So, it'll give yourself maybe 3 minutes and then allow people to figure out how they can get in touch with you. Sorry for that.
Okay, no problem. So I have 3 minutes. So find peace in yourself. I like to meditate. I like to recommend people to really meditate, a silent meditation, as much silence as you can. The second thing, try to understand freedom and karmic patterns. That is the actual thing we started with. The idea of what freedom means, because we are confined. We are in the situation where confinement and bondages are all around us and all inside us. So we have to deal with it. This is something we are going for, and the freedom idea, to be really, really free, should be the most important thing for us. But to understand what this freedom is. Not just say, oh, I want to be free to do whatever I want, because our wanting, our wishes, and not actually free. They are bound, karmically bound, conditioned. So we have to get rid of that. So find peace and look for a freedom.
Awesome.
That's not even 3 minutes.
I know. Okay, so see, it gives us time so you can, you know, let our listener know, you know, how they can get in contact with you.
Okay, so my website is patrickadrian.zone. I am also on Facebook and on Twitter. Just type in my name. It's very easy. Patrick Adrian, and that's it.
Awesome. Well, Patrick, I really wanted to thank you, you know, for, look like I said to you in the beginning, for staying up so late. And that was absolutely amazing information. But what I'm recognizing, 1 hour is not enough for our conversation. Do you agree?
Yeah, we can talk more.
We didn't talk about your Dolphin Project and many other things, what I was really looking for, and, you know, go talk more about in details about your book, because there has incredible depth in it. But listen, I will let you know down the road about, and in the meantime, I really thank you, and it was just so, I'm so grateful that you were able to make it. I learned such a huge amount about, you know, Europe, and it's kind of nice to be originating from there. It's kind of touched my heart a little, I have to say that.
I'm glad for that. I have to thank you for inviting me. It was a pleasure. It is not a problem. I like to be awake in the early morning, but it's not a problem, really. If we will have a chance to speak more, I will do it. No problem.
Absolutely. I thank you so much. Well, listen, well, thank you so much and have a great night and take a good sleep. And I just wanted to thank you, everybody, for tuning in and wish you good night until we bring Patrick back. Thank you. Good night.